they say that love is a many splendid things, but it's really a hugely overused word in our society and badly used word in our society. We're looking at things we can reset. I want to talk this time about resetting your love, what it is that you love. Because I think a lot of times in this modern world, our vision has been clouded when it comes to love. You know, we've been talking about the current situation. There's many things we can reset. We've talked about faith. We've talked about holiness. We've talked about our priorities. And I want to talk today about love, because more than anything else, love is what should define us. 1 John 4 verse 19 says this: we love because he first loved us. So if the love of God is in us, we need to find a way to share that with others around us in our community. See, God's love for us is unique. It's incredible. And we have to reflect that love to those around us. We really need to. We can't generate that love, but we can reflect his love to others. Perhaps now more than ever, this is vitally important. And we have the chance to do that. You know, going through all these things that our society is going through, many people are resetting things in their life. So why not reset the biggest of them all, the granddaddy of them all, which is love? But part of the problem that we have in English, and I've spoken about this before, but I want to talk about it again, is the inadequacy of love, the word love, in our language. See, in English, we have one word for love. In Greek, which is the language of the New Testament, they have seven words for love. So part of our misunderstanding revolves around this misuse of the word love. So in English, for example, you can use love in a variety of ways. Like, I love my wife, I love Vegemite. Or, you know, I love Jesus, I love the Broncos. Or, I love that dress you're wearing. Or, I love this game. Or, I make love. Or, I love serving you. You can use love, but it means a whole bunch of different things. But, of course, in the Greek, there are seven different words for love. And it's a lot more specific and a lot more descriptive. Let me run over those just very briefly for you. The first one is eros, which is romantic, passional, or sexual love. You might remember there's a in the middle of London is a statue up on a big pole. It's called Eros. And that's what that one's about. It's about sexual love. Ludos is playful or flirtatious love. Philousia, which is the love of self. Pragma, which is committed love of companions. So if you're sticking by someone, that's pragma love. Storge, which is family love. You know when they say blood is thicker than water? That's storge love. Okay? When it's all about family. Philia, which is more intimate, authentic, and close personal friendship. It's a really intimate friendship and love. And of course, agape, which is universal. That's the one God demonstrates to us. Universal love, unconditional love, the selfless love that God has for us is agape love. So you can appreciate that love is far more specific in the Bible than it is for us in our English language. Now, if you have a Bible, open to John chapter 21, because this is a really interesting study on the use of the word love. It took me a long time to figure this out because it lacks a bit of meaning in English. There's a sort of a sub-commentary happening underneath in the Greek, which is really unique. So in John chapter 21, I'm going to read it out and I'm going to point out the different usage of the word love. Now, what had happened was Jesus had been betrayed and he'd been crucified and he'd risen again. But of course, Peter had betrayed him three times. And Jesus said to him, before the cock crows three times, you will betray me three times before the cock crows. And so that's exactly what happened. So Jesus was using the word love three times to restore his ministry. He was a broken man. He knew he had let the team down and let his Lord down. But Jesus uses this word love to restore his ministry. So let's pick it up at verse 15. It says this: when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He uses the word agape there. Do you unconditionally love me more than these? And Peter replied to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But he uses filio, in fact. So that's the close personal friendship love. You know I'm intimate with you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Agape again. Yes, Lord, you know that I filio you. I love you in a personal way. He said, tend my sheep. Then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Jesus changes from agape to the word filio then. And Peter says, grieved, because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love filio you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. So what happened there was Jesus set this standard. Do you agape me? Do you unconditionally love me, sacrificially, without reserve? And he used that twice, and Peter kept answering, I feel you, I'm intimate with you, I'm close to you. And in the end, Jesus lowered the bar to restore Peter. He said, well, are you really intimate with me? Do you really love me that intimate way? And Peter said, yes, I love you that way. You can see that in the Greek, there's a whole commentary happening underneath we didn't even know about in English. Quite amazing. So let's talk about what love has degraded to before COVID-19. What was love like? Well, love was basically like this. Prior to us being coronated, love in our society had certainly degraded. We frequently banned the phrase love about. In fact, it was a political tool for quite a while with the plebiscite that we had. Love is love. What does that even mean? Love is love. I know it is love because it is love and love is love. But they used it as a political tool, as a phrase to promote gay marriage and that sort of stuff. But often love, we've been taught that love is based on your feelings alone. So when you get what you want and when you're satisfied and when you're happy and when you've got this incredible feeling in your heart, oh, I love him, I love him, I love him, or I love her, then you say you're in love. Family members say they love each other, but they constantly put their own interests ahead of others in their family. Oh, mum and dad, I really love you, but I'm going to rebel and do what I want, because I don't love you enough to change. People in the movies, they talk about, you know, in the movies and TV, they're always talking about making love. Well, that's not love, folks, because no one's loving anybody. Everybody is taking and satisfying their sexual appetites. That's what they're doing. You see, like it or not, Christians, we've been in this society and we've been tainted or affected by this view of love. And we've been heavily influenced by the media and by, you know, TVs and movies and stuff like that. But what does God say about it? 1 John 4, verses 7 to 8 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If anyone does not love, he does not know God, because God is love. See, the hallmark of our Christian faith and lives should be love. And the Greek word that is used in that passage is the word agape again. So what he's saying is that God is selfless, unconditional love, and we should be as well. So it's not our own desires. It's not getting what we want. In Bible terms, love is not a feeling. It's not getting what you want. Love is an act of your will. You decide to love someone, whether you feel it or not. So that's what love has been for a long time up until now. But I believe with the COVID-19 thing, we've got the opportunity to reset our love and to do it right. To do it God's way, not the world's way. To do it sacrificially and selflessly. To reset love for both ourselves and our societies and put a new standard of love in, which is God's love, which is unconditional, sacrificing love. Now, the sun produces light, obviously. If you go and look at it, you'll figure that out. You'll, you know, blind yourself. But the moon doesn't produce any light at all. But yet the other night I was out and the moon was out. It was a big moon. I don't know if you saw it, but it was really light. It was so light I could see my way around. I didn't need a torch. The moon was so bright. So how can the moon do that? The moon doesn't produce any light. The moon reflects the sun's light. That's how the moon produces light. It just reflects somebody else's light, the sun's light. So if we are to love to a higher degree, we are basically selfish, folks. You and I, we're selfish. Men and women are selfish. We put ourselves first. But we can't generate that sacrificial, unconditional love. But what we can do is reflect it. If we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, we can reflect that love to others. We don't have to generate it ourselves. It's a reflection of the love of God in the same way that the moon reflects the sun. See, John 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus sets this out very clearly. He says this, A new commandment I give you, not all of the Ten Commandments. I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love, agape, one another, just as I have loved, agape, you. You are also to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And part of the reason that our nation is in such a mess at the moment, it's not due to a virus, it's due to the fact that we don't reflect the pure and unconditional and sacrificial love of God to the people around us. The church has simply abdicated that responsibility. We've become an institution, but we need to be a reflection of God's love. So how do you love in a COVID environment? Now, you know, more than any time before, we've got this weird situation where people are separated and they're isolated. And now I believe more than ever, our society needs God's love reflected in and through us. See, people are fearful. They're isolated. They're hurting out there. I saw the other day that incidents of domestic violence have gone through the roof, absolutely through the roof. Because what this COVID thing has done has locked two people who are fighting and don't get on in a room. And so all sorts of, you know, verbal, physical, all sorts of violence is going on because you're taking two people who are in conflict and locking them in a small environment. It's a recipe for disaster. But people out there who are hurting very much through this pandemic, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So the medium may have changed. We're doing it through Facebook and small meetings. We cannot touch or visit many people in the way that we did before. But we have Zoom, we have Skype, we have text, we have phones. We can contact one another and show love. You see, previous to the COVID-19 thing, we just floated along with the crowd. We just lived our life and our love really looked the same as anyone else. But I believe now we have an incredible opportunity to shine God's love the way that we have never shone it before. And people will see that right now because all around is so dark. We've got an incredible chance to reflect the love that God puts in our heart out to others. See, nothing is going to speak positivity into this climate of fear that we still live in like God's unconditional sacrificial agape love. So the Bible says this in 1 John 4, 18 and 19 says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And we love because he first loved us. It's all there in those few verses. If there is fear around us, which there is in our society, the way to cast that out is to shine love. It's what the Word of God says. Shine love. Because when you shine love, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And we love because he's first loved us. So we don't have to try and generate this love. We can reflect the love of God in our hearts out to the people around us. And that is what can cast out fear. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, for our church and for churches all around this nation, even around the world, this is our moment to shine. This is our moment to show sacrificial love, the love of Jesus to everyone around us. So let me just run through a few examples of places you can shine, because you might be saying, well, I don't really know. What is it? Where can I show this sort of love? Let me give you a few places you can. Number one, love for your family. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you say you love God but don't love your family, you're kidding yourself. You are. Because love needs to apply to those we are closest to. And the problem with your family is they know all about you. They see you on your worst day. You know, when I get up and I come to church and I'm going to share a message, you know, I put on a nice shirt. I put on clean underwear. I do up my, I don't do my face, but I do shave, you know, and I do my hair and clean my teeth and all that sort of stuff. So by the time I'm here, I'm present, well, as for me, reasonably well, not great, but, you know, reasonably well. But of course, my wife and my family, they have to see me when I get up in the morning, when I've had a lousy night and I've tossed and turned and my hair's everywhere and, my, you know, I've got morning breath and I'm just looking ugly. And, you know, they see the good, the bad and the ugly in your family. That's part of the problem with loving your family, is that they see you at your worst time as well as your best time. So it's a challenge. But I believe that we need to love our families. We need to contact them. Loving them includes not just feeling love towards them, but contacting them, providing for them, caring for them. Everything else, in this difficult time, we need to reach out and provide love and support to our families that are not physically with us. So some of you here, some of you listening to this are estranged from your family. You know, maybe there was a fight previously, maybe it was their fault, maybe it was your fault, doesn't matter. You're separated from your family. You're not connected to your family. And some of you here are like that. And if that's you, I'm telling you, this is the moment. There will never be a better moment than COVID-19 to reach out and reestablish those bonds. Because everybody's resetting and reevaluating what's important and who they really love. So if you're estranged from your family, this is your moment. Whatever the reason, this is probably the best time in history for you to mend those bridges and reach out to family members that you are not close to, that you should be close to. What an opportunity. And it's been brought about by this virus. The second place that you can show love is to love your friends. Proverbs 17 verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. If you have friends that disappear when things get tough, then they're not really friends, because real friends stick around and help you through things. And in the adversity of isolation, fear and uncertainty, there has never been a better time to reach out in love to your friends. And if you've grown apart, use this moment to reconnect. Lots of people, you may not realize this, it's not publicized much, but lots of people are suffering from isolation with mental illnesses, anxiety, loneliness. And you can be the one who picks up that phone or sends that text or sends that Facebook message just right at the right moment to speak into their life and to minister and to care for them and to reestablish those bonds of love. So now the restrictions are starting to be lifted, which across our nation, if you're overseas, you probably won't get this, but in our nation, they're starting to lift the COVID-19 restrictions. They're un-coronaring us, if you like. But now that the restrictions are being lifted, don't make Bunnings your first stop. Make your friend's house your first stop. Go and share a coffee with them. Or, you know, even if you've been previously hurt or rejected, there is no time like right now to reach out to someone you perhaps have been estranged from. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says this, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, because love, since love covers a multitude of sins. And you may have been sinned against in the past, someone may have hurt you, but if you love them, you can cover that multitude of sins. You really can. Love does conquer all if you would let the love of God shine through you. The third thing, third area you can love is to find love for your church family. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, let's consider how we may stir one another on towards love and good deeds, not neglecting meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I've noticed that in this period, many people have used Corona, if you like, as an excuse to not come to church. Well, it's only on Facebook, it's not really church, so I don't. And they've thought, this is great, this is like a free pass for a while, I don't have to go to church. And so some people have faded away, despite our best efforts to try and stay in touch. Even I've spoken to a few leaders in our church, and even leaders are struggling to sort of keep their personal walk with God together. Sometimes it's floundering, it's just a difficult environment. But this is the opposite of what God wants us to do. We have said for a long time, the church is not the building, it's the people. And now, for the first time in a long time, we've got the chance to prove it. To prove that the church isn't about a building, it's about people. And many of us, frankly, have dropped the ball. We haven't stayed connected to the church. Can we stay connected without face-to-face Sunday meetings? Yes, we can. If you're watching this, God bless you. Stick it out. Come to the Zoom meeting later, you know, stay connected in. I know it's difficult, it's a tough environment, but I want to encourage you to do it, because the most important thing is they will know we are Christians by the love we have for one another, even if it's across Zoom or Facebook or something like that. That's how they know we're believers. If we wander off and do our own thing, if you have I've got a new house and I've got a fire in it, and I'm a latent pyromaniac. I really am. I just love burning stuff. I really, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But I do. I love it. So I've got all this wood and I pile it all up. And you know, you've got wood and it burns and it goes down to this sort of little glowing red ember. It's beautiful. I love it. It's awesome. But if you take that ember out and you put it to the side, it will just go out. It's not going to keep going. It only keeps going when it's stuck in that fire. And we as believers, we only really thrive in our Christian walk when we're connected to other believers. When we're in the fire of the church, when we're stuck in that environment, when we're in there, we grow and we develop and we become leaders and all that sort of stuff. If you take us out, you just go out. 99 times out of 100, the flame just burns low. And we've all experienced that. We've all had to battle. So can we Zoom or use phones to stay connected? Yes. Can we make efforts to visit and connect with people? Yes, we can. And now we have the opportunity to meet in ones or twos or tens or whatever it is at the moment. My challenge to you is to make the best of every opportunity. Meet one another. Have dinner together. You can now have dinner with people. You can have them round for dinner. You can go around their place for dinner. You can't bring 50 people with you, but you can go to their house for dinner. I'm sure you'd be popular if someone invited you to dinner and you brought 50 others. Will it stretch? You know, but just go out and have a coffee or have a takeaway coffee with people. Do whatever you can to stay connected to your church family. The fourth thing, and this is an interesting one, you can reset your love for yourself. See, isolation by its very nature promotes selfishness. I actually saw a t-shirt. My wife is very much an introvert. And I said, this t-shirt is for you. I thought it was beautiful. It was her all over. The t-shirt read like this. You read my t-shirt. That's enough social interaction for today. And I thought that was great. But 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 2 says this, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, lovers of self. And we've seen that. The first thing, you know, that when it says lovers of self, the word love there is not agape, it's not phileo, it's that word philautos, which means lovers of self. So if you don't believe me, I have two words that will show, prove to you that people love themselves first. They are these two words, toilet paper. Because that's what we saw. When toilet paper ran low, people were fighting, people were selfish. They were doing whatever they could to get toilet paper. I don't even know what it was about toilet paper, but there was a run on it and I don't know why. But you see, the thing is, people put themselves first all the time. It's called looking out for number one. And if you are on the road, very few people step back and say, oh, please come in. They fight you. They do. They push themselves forward because it's all about them getting to where they want because they don't prefer others. It's about them. But you can reset that in this moment. Not to love yourself in that selfish way, but to love yourself because the Bible says that you are to love your neighbor as yourself, which implies that you therefore love yourself. You take care of yourself. Now, I don't mean being selfish like what we're talking about there. That's one way of loving yourself. But what about if you reset the way that you actually love yourself? In this COVID time, when we have lots of downtime, if you like, lots of isolation time, it means taking care of your spirit. It means giving yourself time and space and energy, the energy that you need to fulfill, to live a wonderful and fulfilling life. See, you can put time aside right now to do things that will build into your life and reward you. You shouldn't just be, you know, flagellating yourself and whipping yourself and hurting yourself. No, you should reward, take care of yourself. Do some exercise. I've got a t-shirt that says exercise. I thought you said extra fries. See, that's my t-shirt. But, you know, do some exercise. Get outside. Do some stuff that, you know, even if the isolation restrictions are being removed, you can make time for things that you always wanted to do or things that bless you. So let me ask you, during this time of isolation, what have you done that has rewarded yourself and loved yourself just a little bit? What have you done? I have done a few things. I planted some veggies for the first time in my life and miraculously they are growing. And I'm just astonished. I just can't wait to eat something off them. Raymond and I have been planting at our new place and I said, I only want to plant stuff you can eat. So we've been planting, I don't know, all sorts of crazy stuff, but as long as you can eat it. So I decided to plant veggies. I'm taking time to learn a new language using Duolingo, a little app. I'm recording new songs for me. I'm having really good and deep quiet times. So in your downtime, when you've got time, what are you spending your time doing? Why not spend some time with the family playing games? Why not do an in-depth study? Why not just pick something and study it up hard? Maybe you could watch a TV series you always wanted to watch but could never fit in. I believe there's a good one on the life of Christ running around as well. What's it called? The Chosen, yeah. Why not study something? You can study at iTunes University for free. You can study photography or you can study Greek or guitar or cooking or woodwork. I'm really enjoying cooking because Fiona's not enjoying the mess it creates, but I'm enjoying the cooking. And it's really cool because you can create these amazing sort of tastes. If you really get into it and study it, it's really a lot of fun. See, we have more time alone than ever before. So let's take some of this time and use it effectively to take care of ourselves and our mental health. Psalm 119, verse 13 to 14 says this, God says about you, I formed you. Oh, sorry, you formed my inner parts, says David. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So what he's saying there is, God, you made me. And if God's made you, you should take care of you. And it's so easy to not do that, but you've had the opportunity to do that with the COVID thing going on and the reset. The fifth area that you can reset is your love for God. See, in this environment, we may be short of face-to-face time. We may be short of toilet paper and other things. I don't think we're short of toilet paper anymore, are we? That's good. Praise the Lord for small mercies. But you are responsible for how you use this time. You can waste it. Most people I've talked to said, what have you done since you've been in isolation? Ah, nothing. Watched a bit of Netflix and, you know, they've wasted it. We don't need to wait. We should invest that time. You know, invest it in the people you love and invest it most importantly in the most important relationship that you have, which is your relationship with God. Hosea 10 verse 12 says this, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up the unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness upon you. Now, some of us, frankly, before this pandemic, we were going to church. We might have even been leaders in church, but our life with the Lord was crusty and stale. We were just going through the motions. Nothing exciting happened. We're just kind of just plodding along. And when you plod along, you get crusty on top like a fallow ground. And you can't just throw seed on that fallow ground. You've got to break it up so that the seed has something to dig into. So I think this is a wonderful time for us to break up the fallow ground in our life and press into God. And yes, take time for loving others, loving your family, friends, church, etc. But number one, make time for God. How many of us have really been seeking God in this time? Let me tell you, it's not too late to seek God. It's not too late to make this moment in history, so difficult for so many, a moment of great triumph and victory in your life. Because in the middle of all this coronering, you sought God and you drew close to him. And his love filled you, and through you, you were able to love others. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I've got to tell you, he is near right now. In all of this coronering, in all of this isolation and virus and death and destruction, all that sort of stuff, I'm going to tell you, God is near right now. He's near. And he is waiting. He's a gentleman. He will not push himself on you, but he is waiting for you to reach out. So my challenge to you is, how can you invest some time in God in this isolation? Let me talk about, finally, as we finish up, how to reset your love priorities. Number one is seek. The first thing you need to do is seek God and really make time to seek him. If you don't put time aside for God, you will not find him, I'm guaranteeing you. It is very rare that he steps in and does something sensational in your life to get your attention. And most of that is painful. You don't want that. If you take this time, this moment now, and really seek him now, I believe that you can make an incredible difference. Matthew 6:33, which talks about trying to provide for yourself food, shelter, clothing, all that sort of stuff. At the end of that passage, Jesus says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are given to you as well. If you invest your time and your love, and love is measured in time, if you invest that love and time into God and seek him first, then all of the other things are added to you. So my challenge to you, church, is why not join us? We've got a Bible reading plan. If you don't have it, contact us. We will get it to you. It's free of charge. A few minutes a day you can invest, and suddenly you will find the Word of God becomes alive in your life. So why not take a few minutes a day to invest in the Bible reading plan? Why not take a few minutes a day to get on our Facebook page and download the Sparks? It's a little thought for the day. It's there every day. And we're doing it right through this period. Just a little thought you can take into your day, but it can change your life. Why not take time to invest in the Sunday service? If you're watching this replayed, that's all fine. That's good. Why not join us Sunday morning? Why not join us on the Zoom thing? Why not take the time to invest in the things of God? You know, put music on while you're cleaning up. Put worship music on as you, you know, you sing your heart out as you go along. I used to always be embarrassed. I'd pull up at lights and I'd have my music blaring and I'm singing away and I'd look at the guy next to me. He's like going, really? Really? You know, and it's fun. But I love that. Why not take time to sing? Even if you can't sing, God doesn't care. The Bible says make a joyful noise. You can still do that. Think about it. Why not take the time to invest into God? So the first thing is to seek Him. The second thing is to share. See, life is a journey we share. So instead of isolating and living in your own little world, take time out to reach out and connect with people, especially in the church. Galatians 6:2 says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to fulfill the law of Christ? Bear one another's burdens, it says. Just share the journey. If you have a need, reach out. And reach out to us in the church. Let us share the load with you. At Ignite, we can care and share with anything from gift packs to meals to visits to counseling to prayer. And by sharing your burdens, others are stirred up, stirred up to become all that they could be in the Lord. If I have a problem and a challenge and I solve it myself, you don't even know about, but if I include you in that process, you grow as well. It's called stirring one another up. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may stir one another up towards love and good deeds. You see, when the love of God is in our life and we share it with others and we share the burden with others, we are stirred up, but they are stirred up with us and we grow together, and that's how church works. So we can seek the Lord, we can share with others, and the third thing is to shine. God asks for us, you know, He asks us to shine, but I would challenge you right now, ask God for opportunities to shine. Lord, give me a moment that I can speak into someone's life or shine your love into their life. And if you do that, if you seek God, if you share the burden with others in the church, and then collectively as a church, we can shine in the darkness. Matthew 5:16 says in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. They don't listen to what you say. They see what you do. They see your deeds. If your deeds are selfish, they're not going to hear anything you say. But if your deeds are the love of God reflecting out to everyone around you, they will listen to what you have to say. So many of you have shared with me that you've just loved people and they didn't even know you're a Christian for a while. And then after a while it comes up and then all of a sudden they go, oh yeah, you're a Christian. But I tell you what, you get their hearing. If you shine love to people, you open their ears and they start to hear. Now, we can shine brighter together. One candle can shine, but you put a bunch of candles together and they can light up the room like daylight. You put a bunch of candles together and they can you know, set the whole place alight if you're not careful. That's why we have carols by candlelight with little, you know, battery-operated things, which I think is terrible, you know. But this world can barely recognize true selfless sacrificial agape love. But this is our moment. This is our chance in history to shine genuine love to people by reflecting the love of God through ourselves. So it's time to live up to what Jesus said, the new commandment, the greatest commandment. He said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love, if you agape, if you reflect the selfless, sacrificial love of God one for another. You see, love is not a feeling. It's a decision. It's an act of the will. So make the right decision now. Before you lose your temper, before you put your own desires first, before you put someone else down, before you tell someone that you love them or that you don't really care for them, before you skip another quiet time, whatever it is, stop and consider God's definition of love. People say, well, I don't really know how to love. God tells you very clearly how to love. And I want to finish with the most famous passage on love, one of my most favorite passages in the whole Bible. But I pray that you'll see it in a new light today. The word for love here that is used is the word agape, sacrificial, bottomless, never-ending, unconditional love. It's the love that keeps loving when someone doesn't love you back. It's the love that keeps giving when someone has hurt you. It's the love that forgives and reaches out one to another when we need it. Let me finish with this definition of God's beautiful love that we can reflect. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 9 says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That is the love that we are to shine to others. So, in this time of Corona, this is our chance. This is our moment. This is our opportunity in history to reset love and get it right. To not come up with the imitation love that is out there so often. I love you, but I'm selfish about it. That's not love. This love here is that agape love, that bottomless, unconditional love. And we have the chance to get it right. And if you are not sure, read that. It's 1 Corinthians 13. Read it. Find out what love looks like and do that. Because if you do that, you'll start to reflect God's love everywhere. But it all starts not with a feeling. It starts with a decision. So I want to challenge you right now. I bet there is someone in your life that you say you love, but you don't feel like you love them. It might be a brother or sister. It could be a friend. It could be someone who's hurt you. It could be your husband or wife. If you make a decision to love them unconditionally, the feelings come later. You don't start with the feelings. You may not feel like you love them, but if you decide right now that you do, just make a decision. Just make a decision. So I'm going to ask you to join me in making this decision now, that I am going to reflect that love of God to people around me. Not be selfish about it, but I'm going to reset what love is to make it look like 1 Corinthians 13. Unconditional love, bottomless love, sacrificial love. I don't have that inside of me, neither do you, but God, we can reflect his love to others. Corrie ten Boom is a great author. She was a survivor, miraculously, of Ravensbrück concentration camp, and she tells the story of she had a meeting in the late 1940s, or around 1950, and a man came up to her at the meeting and said, "Do you recognize me? I was one of the guards at your prison camp." He was a Nazi SS officer at the time, and this was after the war. And her heart just froze because she did recognize him as a cruel taskmaster at that time. And he put his hand out to her and he said, "Miss Ten Boom, can you forgive me? Can we share? I'm a Christian now. Can you forgive me? Can we share God's love?" And she looked at him. She looked at his hand outstretched to her and she thought, "I can't do this. I can't forgive this man. I can't love this man. I can't. After what he did to me, my sister was murdered in Ravensbrück. I barely survived. I can't do this." But then the love of God welled up in her heart and she realized that she can't love this man, but she can reflect God's love for this man. So she reached out, and when their hands touched, she said, "Yes, I forgive you and I love you in the Lord." And that took real courage. I'm going to ask you to make that decision today. Who is it in your life that you struggle with? Who is it in your life that you don't feel like loving? Who is it in your life that you need to reach out to in this environment? Why don't you pray with me and we'll finish up. Don't forget, after our meeting, we have our Zoom meeting, so we'd invite you to join us on that. We'll put details up in a moment. But for now, I want you to just think about this in your life. Who is it that you can reach out to right now? Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's your own husband or wife or father or mother, kids. People you don't necessarily warm to, but you need to love. Who is it that God is speaking to you about right now? Because I'm going to invite you right now to make a decision to love unconditionally that person and everyone else you meet, and to start by loving God. So I'm going to say a prayer. I want you to repeat it after me. And together we're going to reset our love in this environment that will last for eternity. So say this with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I have not shown your love to people. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me right now. And right now, Lord, I pledge complete love and obedience to you. I pledge to seek you with all my heart. And I ask you to fill me with so much of your love that I can shine it to others around me. Lord, teach me to love the way you love. And especially help me to show love to dot, dot, dot. And I want you to put someone's name in there right now. Someone you need to show love to this week. Heavenly Father, you've heard these prayers. We know that you are love, that God is love, and that love is reflected through us to others. And Lord, I pray that this week, as we reset love in this environment, that we would reset a love that would shine so brightly that the world would take notice. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Well, Lord, I pray that your love would shine through us into the lives of others, that our love would just shine into their lives, and that they would see the love of God reflected in us. Lord, let us reset love in a way that will last for eternity, and a way that would win the people of our nation to Jesus Christ, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.